And the reason will come for us all.
Hey, Samantha, where can they find us on the social medias?
I'm so glad you asked. They can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Reaper Tales Podcast and on TikTok at reaper.tales.podc.
Nailed it.
Just podc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can email us at reapergals@reapertales.com. I'm always looking at it. So if you're one of the ones that emails me on a regular basis, you know that. I do respond almost in real time, unless like
almost.
I'm on vacation or like I'm bed rotting, but that's a different thing. So email us at reapergals, G-A-L-S, at reapertales.com. Email me to tell me that I look pretty. Email me to tell me I'm doing a good job and to send us your show suggestions and anything else that you want us to cover or anything like that. So, yeah.
And please remember to like, rate, review, subscribe, all the things you lovely listeners know what to do anyway on any of the listening platforms that you use. As per usual, you get bonus points if you do it on platforms you don't listen to us on, but you give us a nice little review. And worded reviews will get special shout outs. So if you are so inclined to do so, please do us a favor. Makes it a little easier for people to find us. You know, even if it's people you don't like and you don't like us, it doesn't hurt. Go ahead. Why not?
Yeah.
It still works.
Yeah.
And if you don't Thanks. Want to be listed out, by the way, on the worded reviews, it's too bad. We're still going to give you a shout out.
Yeah. Yeah, even if you say we smell like boogers or something like that. Okay, thanks.
Rude.
You're being quiet.
Samantha, I started it.
He dropped his shoes.
This is going to be a loosey-goosey episode, no intro, blah blah blah. I think we're just going to kick it off. So this is the 100th episode Q&A portion. We're going to release as a bonus. Thank you guys for sending us in your questions. How many did we have, Kelsey?
Well,
we had more
just,
than this, but some of them were inappropriate.
I just reorganized it. So all of the numbers, the number system is just gone. In the spreadsheet, we have 25 rows, but there's like a few questions. About 30 is my guess.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys for sending those in. So as we promised, we're going to do that. We're coming off the recording of the Bigfoot episode. And if you're watching the video and you're wondering why I changed my shirt, it's because I was cold. So,
and if
that's
you're wondering why I keep looking to the side, I have a sick husband that keeps making noises next to me.
I think I changed my shirt like 3 times already, but nobody looks at me probably.
They're mainly looking at you because most of the time you can't see my face. I'm giving the vibes of that neighbor from
Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson from what was that?
Home Improvement, I think.
Home
is what
Improvement,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he just looks
just
over the
Wilson.
Fence. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny look.
Sometimes she can see me. All right, let's
Here
go.
Here we go. Kick Question one is from Gabe. He said, They say, hi, ladies. I've been listening for a few months now and love the show. I have 2 questions. Hope that is allowed. How did you guys get started? Like, what was your reason behind starting the show? Also, this question was asked by quite a few other people. Becca also wrote in saying, hello. She said, hello, Reaper Gals. My name's Becca, she, they. I wanted to know how you two got started, which one had the idea for the podcast, and what was your inspiration? There we go.
It's all Montana's fault.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I have ADHD and I hyperfixate on things and I get new hobbies all the time. And one of the things that I did was I hyperfixated on like podcasts. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. I can do this. And I was like, Samantha, let's just try it. You know, let's do it. And jokes on me, I stuck it out for almost 2 years now, so I'm real proud of myself. And
jokes
Samantha,
on you. Okay.
Yeah, jokes on me. But I mean, it's been a good way to like ensure that, you know, as we get older and we get busier, we don't keep in touch as much. And this kind of like, I don't want to say forces us, but it helps us stay in contact too a lot more.
Well, it gives us an excuse to keep in contact. And for a long time, we did it every week because we could not plan ahead to save our lives.
So at the very least,
it did force us to spend time once a week.
Yeah. Hopefully, but in the near future, it'll be once a month.
I mean, but
I'm tired.
I think we'll probably do a lot of every other week. Maybe once a month when things are coming up. But yeah, I mean, it does keep us in contact and we do a better job of keeping in touch and talking. I mean, we have a lot of stuff before that we talk about and we kind of air a lot of stuff out. So instead of it being when you visit me or I visit you and we spend the entire first night talking until like 3 a.m., we can actually get to bed at a somewhat decent time, like 2 a.m.
Oh man.
The next question from Gabe, because he did have two. They had two. What are your favorite podcasts?
Mine is Sinisterhead. I've listened to them for 3 or 4 years. It was like the height of the pandemic when I started listening to them. And I quickly like became a Patreon and stuff like that. I've been to one of their shows. We're going to one of their shows, all three of us, in June. So yeah, that's been my favorite so far. I've had a few other favorites when it comes to like true crime, but I've had reasons here and there for not like no longer following them, especially in starting the podcast and doing it and realizing that there's a good way to do things and there's not good ways of doing things. And so it's just kind of helped me realize that some podcasts aren't doing it great, I guess. I mean, they're great, but they're like not doing it ethically, maybe the right way. I don't know. Is what it is. Samantha, I've spoken enough. Yours.
So for me, I have a rotation because it depends a lot on my mood and kind of what I'm looking for. So I actually have three main ones. The three main ones are This Podcast Will Kill You. I have listened to all of theirs. And basically, I listen to them whenever they put out episodes. And sometimes I re-listen to some of my favorites. True Crime All the Time. I like them because they go very deep dive. And they go, it's much more investigative rather than high level kind of what we do. And I like to see how they have grown, because I've listened to them now for years, and to see how they've grown and learned how to do different things and how to say different things and be more respectful for certain situations has been interesting to learn and grow with them. And then the third one is And That's Why We Drink. And I feel like basically I'm listening to us, but a different version a lot of times, to be perfectly honest. But those are kind of my more lighthearted moments, like getting ready for work, or if I'm having kind of a down day, I can listen to them, and their banter just makes me maybe feel at home because it is so familiar. And they also cover different things kind of like we do, where they have more of the paranormal or hauntings, and then they also have the true crime, but it also is high level, so it doesn't go so in depth that if I'm not in the right mindset, it bothers me. It's easier for me to listen to them, or I can just listen to one or the other depending on my mood. So it's kind of a rotation of those three mostly, but I do like Sinisterhood too.
That's kind of what I do when I listen to, And That's Why We Drink, is I listen to M's portion. And then when they're done, I go to the next episode and I listen to M's portion. It's just kind of how I do.
You don't get to do that with me.
Yeah. But I do like all of the ones that you said. Kelsey, what's yours?
Mine is Sinisterhood. Before I started editing for you guys, I would listen to your podcast every time you put them out, but I listen to you enough now, so I had to find something different to listen to while I work and stuff. So Montana got me into Sinisterhood, and I am so excited to see them live.
Yay.
Okay.
It'll be a good show.
Yeah. Next.
It'll be my first. I've never seen one live, so that'll be fun.
Me too. Same.
I've only ever seen them. So
yeah,
I drove all the way to Raleigh last time by myself, and then I drove back in the middle of the night.
Shit, man. Next question is from Tori. Gals, I'm a new listener to the show and fell in love with it immediately. I've almost listened to all the episodes. I don't listen in order. I know, bad listener. I remember in one Same. Episode, Samantha mentioned having a lot of piercings, and I want to know what kind of piercings. I have my septum pierced and really want to get more.
Okay, so I wrote this out because I didn't remember all the ones.
Oh, yikes.
Tori, I know you sent this like really early on, like weeks ago. So I would love to hear an update if you did end up getting any more. But like I said, I actually had to, I had to type all this up because I didn't know what all, I can't remember what all I had. So I had to like kind of take pictures and look. But so I currently have a nostril piercing that I wear a stud in. I do have a belly button piercing that I got when I was like 19. So I just still have it. That I have it for the same reasons. And 21 ear piercings. I have 2 doth, 1 conch, 4 lobes in each ear, 2 helix, 1 in each ear, 3 flats all in one ear, 1 forward helix, 2 upper helix that are actually at the top of my ear, and I have a chain connecting them. And I have a faux snug, which is actually just a conch and a lower helix. And if I get a different ear piercing on top of what I already have, it'll probably be a tragus and or rook. But really, I want to get a second nostril piercing so I can do a hoop and a stud next to each other on one side. But yeah, so that's what I have. I have a few, just a few.
Meanwhile, I can't wear earrings.
And meanwhile, I can't when we record because the one time it was a lot of noise. And that's probably the time I mentioned that.
All right. This is from Anonymous. It says, do you ever think about monetizing the podcast? Why or why not?
That is a difficult question to answer. We don't plan to do any like sponsors, even if we do start like a Patreon or anything like that. If we ever do, and we have spoken about this before with each other, so it's not just like me answering it without Samantha's say-so. If we do decide to do like sponsorships or ads on the podcast, the money that comes in for that will go directly into funding things for DNA results for crimes, anything that can further like potentially help victims in certain things. But truly, podcasts make a lot more money on their Patreon subscriptions than they do on their ads. So that's kind of, and ads for me just kind of like bum me out. I'm like, ugh, you don't really have to do that. Or I guess you do. I don't know what their life's like. But yeah, the answer is yes and also no.
We didn't go into this to make money, and that hasn't really changed. We have our own full-time jobs outside of this that we are both very fulfilled and enjoy doing. So this is more of a hobby for us than something that we want to make into like our career, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, we love doing it. We love this as a hobby. And we try to do our best every single time. That being said, that wasn't ever our goal. That wasn't why we started, and it's not why we're doing it.
Yeah, and if we do make money on the Patreon, the first little bit's probably going to go to Kelsey because she does most of the work now. So
the next little bit's going to go to getting a Montana working computer.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we need that. Okay, next is from TT. It says, hiya, big fan of your show. I've been listening since almost the beginning and even got my partner to start listening too. I know in the past you said you wouldn't cover cases about children, but you recently covered one about children in the 2-part Solomon episodes. Is there a specific type of child case you won't cover? Also, are there other types of cases you won't cover?
Yeah, so when I know my reasoning behind it, Samantha, if you want to give yours first.
I will tell you that that was a tough case for me, and Kelsey and Montana can attest to that. That was hard. I have stepkids and I love them to death. So I don't, especially when something hits close to home, but just in general, like when you have kids, it kind of makes it tough to talk about that kind of thing, even though we're aware of it. And we know that the world can be a really cruel and nasty place. Talking about it, researching it, and then delivering it on a podcast is a whole nother world. So for me, I don't think I would ever do that kind of case. Personally, I don't think I could. And also where you have kids or teenagers that are the perpetrators, that's a dark place to go down for me. Even listening to those cases, a lot of times I either won't, or I, you know, high level it, or I'll end up stopping it. So I think for me, it's a little bit harder. It's one thing when it's like a Black Widow case, and I very briefly go over that for a reason. I don't want to go into detail. I want to mention it because it's important, because it happened, and that's not okay. But I don't want to go into detail and talk about that sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally it does. And just for like, for me, I have enough like kids in my life that anytime, and you know what, nobody, well, we don't talk about on the podcast, the fact that when we went to do part two, I couldn't get out of bed for a day because we had just recorded part one. It was really difficult. And I have such empathy towards children in general, and especially in today's society, where a lot of people don't see children as human beings. And so I'm already like feeling that immense compassion and empathy towards children. So when I cover something like that, it's really hard on me emotionally. I will try to do it a little bit in the future, because I do think that they do need voices that don't speak out for them as much. But in the beginning, it was really difficult, simply because Samantha had young children, Kelsey had just had a baby. And so seeing things like that, where I had kids really close to me in my life, all I could see were their little faces. And I was like, I can't do this. So, you know, that as we evolve, as we get, you know, better in our own emotions and more secure and how to handle those things, I think we'll do it. But yeah. And as far as like other cases that we won't cover in the future, you know, we've said it before, we're not going to cover the ones that get covered all the time.
Heavy hitters that get radio play. No.
Yeah. The John Wayne Gacy, you know, whatever that dick bag was. What was his name?
Ted Bundy.
Bundy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we're not going to cover any of those.
None of those.
And I don't remember if we've covered conspiracies yet. Have we covered it? I don't remember.
Not really.
I know we've talked about covering conspiracies, but we'll never cover a conspiracy that would actively harm anybody, you know? And I only bring that up because I was thinking about it earlier this past week, later past week, whatever, when the shipping boat ran into the bridge. And there are all these people talking about all of these conspiracy theories, and that actively harms people in the way that they are doing it. It was none of that. We're never going to cover anything like that. So if it's conspiracy theories, it's going to be something kooky that doesn't harm anybody.
Like the NFL.
Like the NFL.
Yes. The scripted conspiracy theory.
And we have a plan to do that.
But yeah, so I mean, I think we're both in agreement, though, that it, I mean, we both have been very honest about any, you know, our own trauma and our own mental health and the things that we go through. And that somehow is it's a very dark place, because those are the most innocent of us. And to talk about that innocence being ripped from somebody who it should have never happened, it's just a very tough subject. But like Montana said, it's a voice that needs to be heard, and it isn't frequently. And it's just very challenging to do that with empathy and to do it in the right way. So we'll probably do them, but it will be very far and few, it'll be very few and far between, because we have to take care of ourselves too on the same note.
Yeah. And I have to listen to it more than once. So that's another reason why
Sorry.
I don't just love when they do those. But anyway. Okay. Next question is from Kelly. This one says, hello, Reaper Gals and Kelsey. You two have kept me company on my road trips over the past several months, and I always look forward to each and every episode you put out. I'm hoping one day you guys will do a live show and I can see you in person. Now on to my question. I'm sure someone has already asked this, but I wondered how you come up with your episode topics. I consume a decent amount of true crime and even haunted spooky content, but a lot of what you cover I've never heard. Looking forward to the 100th episode. I've been dying to hear your takes on Bigfoot.
I could answer that. Montana and ADHD. There you go.
I play it real fast and loose. That's what happens.
Honestly, like the joint episodes more often than not, we'll say something like, oh, you know, it'd be a really good topic that both of us can cover. And then we'll say something. And then until Kelsey came around and we actually got a spreadsheet where we write it down, we would forget what we even talked about the previous episode. And we'd be like, oh, crap, we got to do one next week. So what do you want to do? You want to do that? Okay, sure. And then it would be a very generic topic. We would have completely different versions of what we thought we meant when we were talking about it. It's very loosey-goosey, to be perfectly honest.
And I still...
There's no platform or formula that we use whatsoever.
There was nothing. It was, I hyperfixated on this for 5 hours last night. Let's cover this. And then it gets to the day before. I text Samantha and I'm like, hey, so you know how I said we were going to do this?
I
researched all of this instead. And I still do that. I don't do it as bad on the joints anymore.
Which I appreciate.
I will change what I'm covering, but it will be the same like theme. But on the solo ones, like, because the problem that I have is that I will go in and I will research all this stuff and I'll do an outline and I'm like, okay, now you got to write up what you're going to say in it. And then, but I've already done all the research. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that tomorrow. And by the time I sit down to do it again, I'm like looking up, you know, the rest of my research to fill it in. And then I'm like, well, what if I look into troll doors? So, yeah.
That's your brain in a nutshell.
That's it. I exhaust myself. So, yeah, that's how it works.
Do either of you want to speak to the part where she said, I'm hoping one day you guys will do a live show and I can see you in person?
Oh, yeah, we just skipped right over that.
You did.
That, if that ever happens,
that makes me nervous, and we're not even talking about it.
Yeah, if that ever happens, I will tell you, there's a lot of things that need to happen before that happens. Like, we would first need to have an agent, which we don't have. We are completely independent. We are an indie podcast, so we would have to have an agent. They would have to coordinate it, and it would probably only be local to our area. So it depends on like where you are. You know, if something like that, if some miracle happens, we get like 100,000 listeners in the next 2 months, an agent contacts us. It would be potential for a year from now. But until that happens, you know, no. Would we love to do one? I would.
Yeah. It would be nerve wracking. I would have to take a few shots before I got on stage. But
well, I guess without saying.
But yeah, I think it would be a blast. We'd have a great time.
Yeah, but you guys will be the first to know if it's looking like that's going to happen. I will email you personally back to let you know, hey, look, we just got an agent. Things are happening.
FYI, buy tickets.
Okay, the next one is from Pim, but we put a note that says, not sure if this is their name, but that was in their email. Hey ladies, day one listener here. I think I started listening because one of you is a Patreon member for... I think they meant to say Sinisterhood. And you mentioned your podcast in our Discord. You guys help fill the gap between my other favorite podcasts and is now an immediate listen as soon as the episode comes out. My question is for both of you. I wanted to know how you think the podcast has changed you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What advice would you give to others who want to start their own podcast?
Don't do it.
Come on, Samantha. I say do it.
Be ready to put up some capital.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's a money pit. But
in time.
In time. It's a time sucker. I would say, as far like for me, I've become more confident in like who I am and how I speak, because I used to be very hesitant to say anything, especially to say anything that I believed or like push back on anything. But this has kind of given me more of that confidence to do stuff like that, you know, because I am I'm a pretty smart person. I know a lot of things, but I'm a very smart person. I'm sorry, Kelsey, tell your stepmother. I'm so sorry. I'm a very smart person. I never wanted to push back because I always thought that what I was going to say was not going to be smart. And so this has kind of given me the confidence to do that. And it's okay to talk, especially since I used to have to listen to hours of myself talking, which is not great.
I wouldn't want to edit this podcast in general, just in general. Good, bad, ugly, how the podcast has changed. I think it's made Montana and I closer than we've probably ever been, because we do have those weekly check-ins and we talk about some really tough things sometimes. And I think that kind of opens us up and opens conversation that we wouldn't necessarily have had otherwise, although we did always kind of talk about the true crime podcast that we followed. I think that I really don't know that I would have anything bad or ugly to say. I do think it is difficult sometimes when you have certain cases that you cover, that you start to cover, and you don't realize kind of how it goes. And then you figure out and you're like, oh, well, I'm already in it. So, you know, kind of have to finish it now. And that can be kind of disheartening, especially when you're reading about and talking about negative things like that. That can be kind of overwhelming sometimes, which is why we kind of started doing the joints in between, because we could be more lighthearted on those and do like cryptids or conspiracy theories, UFOs, whatever. The UFO one was a lot of fun.
Haunted places,
ghosts. And I think that I went to college and high school for a very, you know, I did the college thing quite a bit and I wrote a lot. And I always said I didn't want to do this anymore. And I continue to write term papers that I then deliver on a semi-regular basis on this podcast, which I really hated doing presentations. And it wasn't so bad when the videos weren't recorded, but now the videos are recorded. So now it's just all out there. But it has, I think I would agree with you. It makes me a little more confident, makes me a little more comfortable with my writing style and research and being able to deliver my opinions on some things and in ways I've never done in the past, to be perfectly honest. But then also to give me an opportunity to talk to people openly and honestly about like mental health and that sort of thing, because that's something that I'm a big proponent of, because I've had to work so hard with my own. And I want to encourage anybody out there that has some of the same difficulties that I struggle with, and encourage them to work on themselves and do better. And that's one thing that has meant the most to me, honestly, with this whole thing.
Kelsey, what's your ugly? What's your good? Your bad? Which are ugly.
You're she
ugly
has to see me. Us.
No, no, I don't have an ugly. I've learned a lot from being on this podcast, and I'm not even really on it. I'm just, you know, the little side helper. I don't know what to even call me, but I feel like I've learned
the one that makes us sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you. But I learned a new skill, like the editing software that I use. I never knew how to do that before. I'm self-taught, and I'm probably not super great at it, but I did learn.
Way better than I was.
Well, thank you.
Nope. If she's not allowed to do it, you aren't either. So you can't say
that.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I am very good at it. You guys do sound good. And yeah, but it's exciting that I got to learn that. And I've also learned quite a bit of new things just by listening to you guys talk. And I'm inspired. You know, you guys are really, you're so much more, you're such great writers and you have such wonderful voices, and both of you sell yourself short. We all do. And I'm just very grateful that I get to be a part of it because I love listening to you guys talk.
Aw.
Well, that's good because you have to regularly for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. So the next question is anonymous and it says, hello, ladies. I'm a new listener. Started listening because one of your episodes on the Solomons. I'm local to that area and wanted to know if you ever talked to any of the family involved in the cases you cover. Looking forward to your 100th episode. Hopefully I'll be caught up with the podcast by then.
So we haven't talked to the family on that case. There has been a family member who has reached out to us about another case in the past. It was a great conversation. They reached out to me and then a private investigator reached out to me about it. And we talked for a bit. I gave them the information that I knew. I talked to the family member. You know, they just wanted more information. So, yeah, I mean, we want to reach out more to families ourselves. There's a couple of cases that I've had on the books for like a year, but they're one of those, like, there's a lot of information I could do it now, but it's gonna, I feel like it would be better, especially since they're local to me, if I reached out to the family and I spoke directly with them before I talked about it here. So yeah, we've only had one family member that I know of reach out to us about anything.
Oh no, we had another one.
We did.
Well, I don't know that it was necessarily a family member. It was somebody close to the case. I won't go into it though, but we have had a couple of other contacts that were close to cases, I think. Not necessarily family members, but people who knew people involved in the cases. But nothing to that extent.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about now. And the reason, like, we're not saying which ones it was is because those people are still around. They listen to the podcast now, and we haven't gotten permission to say whether or not it was them. But, yeah.
Okay. The next question is from Batman? Not sure what that means. What's your favorite episode you've covered?
That's a hard one.
Black Widow of Hazel Green.
Okay,
that one was a lot of fun.
My favorite is, oh God, now I feel like it's a tie. I don't know. Samantha's birthday episode, I think, was my favorite story. Like, I'm serious.
Oh, yeah. That one was
the story that Montana told was so good. I also love the back rooms. Oh, Lou Wooster. I really liked that episode. I think those are my top three.
That's funny because my husband's favorite episode is Samantha's birthday, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever said it. I probably have said it on here, but my favorite episode, harken back to the good old days, is What Lurks Beneath.
I knew that one.
That was such a funny episode.
We were recording in two separate rooms in my old house, and I could hear Montana dying. Laughing.
It was so good.
Although I will say The Devil's Playground was a good one too, and that audio was terrible, and I don't know how people listened to it, but that one was a lot of fun to record.
That's when we definitely need to redo, remaster, really whatever. But it was a really good episode. I would say, like, for, I guess cryptid-wise, that would be my favorite one. I don't really have a favorite true crime because all of that is kind of hard and difficult. God, what was the one that we did recently that was really funny?
The Black Widow one that Samantha did that we just were laughing the whole time. It was like unhinged.
Oh my God.
That one was so funny too.
Oh, the one from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Blanche.
Which one was that?
Blanche Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That one was pretty funny. I mean, it's terrible because she killed people, obviously. And I don't think that's funny.
Granny was something else.
It was funny because I was unhinged that day.
That's for sure.
So oops, I made a lot of mistakes there, but yeah, but definitely What Lurks Beneath. Yeah,
this is a similar question from Jen. It says, hello ladies, I just wanted to start out by saying I love the podcast. I've been listening since around episode 15 came out, and also love the new mics. Every time you upgrade or make something better, I feel like I've accomplished something right alongside you. That's so cute. I wanted to know what is the case that got each of you into true crime? Looking forward to 100 plus more episodes.
You can go.
So the first one I ever listened to was True Crime All the Time with my husband. And it was the, the High-Low Murders, I think. We listened to it on a road trip, actually. And that was the first time I'd ever heard a true crime podcast. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting, gruesome, but at the same time, like, they're going into detail, they're talking about this whole thing. And I started listening to them. And at some point, I also, when I visited Montana one time, she had just gotten to be friends with Kelsey, and Kelsey told me a horror story of one of the, I survived while we were playing disc golf. Was no escaping it. So that was kind of the 1-2 thing that happened. And then obviously Montana was into podcasts and gave me a couple to listen to. So,
well, I wasn't, when I first met Kelsey, I wasn't into podcasts, but I will say I grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries. Like, as a child, somebody should have taken the remote for me. Should not have been watching that young. Snapped, all of that stuff. I was watching it, consuming it. Shouldn't be doing it. But Kelsey, after meeting her, we went on, I think we've said this before, we went on a I invited her on a vacation with me after meeting her for the first time. I was like, let's go on a vacation together. And she turned on a real fucked up episode of a podcast. And I was just like, I didn't like that. So I didn't listen to podcasts for 2 years. And then when the pandemic came around, I was like, okay, maybe I just didn't like that one. And so I started listening to Serial, because that was like the first original, like, I guess, true crime podcast, whatever, about Adnan Syed and Haman Lee. Haman Lee was murdered. Adnan Syed was convicted of it, but there was a lot of questionable evidence in it, and it went through like multiple episodes of like interviews with him, people around who just didn't believe that he did it. And just FYI, he has been like exonerated since then or whatever.
That's the one you sent to me that, yeah, I listened to.
And then after that one, I started listening to The Fall Line. It is a podcaster out of Georgia, and this podcaster, I'm pretty sure it's a she. I don't know. I'm just going to say they. They cover marginalized people out of like Atlanta and Georgia who their cases don't really get covered. And it's unsolved cases, and they raise money to help fund like DNA testing and things like that. So that's kind of where it started. And then I went through the regular tropes of, I'm going to try My Favorite Murder, I'm going to try, you know, all these other bigger ones. And I ended up just sticking with Fall Line, Sinsterhood. I have a couple of other random ones. Mr. Ballin.
Obviously. Also, it was the Hi-Fi Murders. It was the case. But
Hi-Fi. Yeah.
Yeah. And that one was really gruesome to start out with. Thanks to my husband for that one.
Oh, him.
Yeah, he was the one that picked that one. That was not you. But yeah, it's interesting where we start and where we end up, because I definitely went through a couple of other ones that just weren't a good fit for me. There's nothing wrong with them necessarily. They just weren't a good fit for me.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, the question was not like which podcast, it was which case. So I guess, but each of you.
Oh, which case?
Yeah. Like what case was what got you into true crime? So it didn't have to be on a podcast, but just a case, a true crime case that kind of got you into it.
Oh man, I can't remember that far back. I was a child.
Well, I mean, my answer still stands, because I really wasn't listening or researching or looking into it up until that point necessarily. Yeah. Nothing really stuck or encouraged my interest, I guess.
Yeah, I would say like the murder of Haman Lee would probably be like the first one that I was like, I was actively like looking stuff up about it myself. The other one would probably be Bryce LaSpisa, which I covered on our 1 year anniversary. Something about that one just bucks the shit out of me, man.
All right. The next question is from Jay. It says, hi, ladies and Kelsey. I'm a lady too, by the way. Okay. I've been.
Yeah, but you get your own title.
I know. I should be grateful. I've been listening since.
We're just lumped together.
Yeah. I've been listening since last summer.
It's all of us in one bra.
I've been listening since last summer. My first episode was on your 1 year anniversary, and I just stuck around after that. For your Q&A, I wanted to know if you two have ever had issues in your friendship because of the podcast. If you have, how have you overcome it? Love you guys, Jay.
Not because of the podcast.
Well, I think like Samantha has previously, like, she's been my manager when we worked together like 10 years ago. So she already knows what it's like to work with me. Kelsey now knows. It's not easy. I'm not an easy person to work with. But I think it's more of like, a lot of the times I feel like they have to babysit me. I know that that's not true, but sometimes I feel like they do have to babysit me or just keep me on track, which y'all do a really good job of that. So kudos to y'all. But no, I don't think we've had any issues.
No. I mean, I think we approached this from the right mindset when we first decided to do this. We both had our own style and the things that we were interested in and would want to cover. So we were pretty clear about that from the beginning. What I cover is obviously not the same thing as what you cover. Again, it's kind of like, that's why we drink. You know, they have their own thing and that works for them. So we started doing this. I never even heard of them and realized that that was something that could work. So I wouldn't say that there's been any troubles from it. You know, it has been challenging on some episodes to keep you on track, but I'm also used to that. So we can go down a tangent and I'll let you do it for a little while because you make good points sometimes. And sometimes it's a necessary tangent to kind of lighten up the mood, especially when I'm talking about things that are a little bit on the darker side. I think it all just works. We just make it work and I think it works well. So I wouldn't say that any negatives that I can think of outside of when we were sick and we were not recording at all in advance and we were struggling on days with holidays and family and stuff like that. I mean, that got to be a little bit tense, but not between us. It was more just our feeling of obligation to anybody that was listening.
Yeah. And I think that's like not this past year, but the year before we just stopped. We just didn't record a couple of episodes just because, man, sometimes you need a break. Yeah.
Well, now you have me to help.
That's true.
Okay, the next question is from Shelby. I think it's similar because I put it next to this one. So it says, "Hey, gals, I'm a longtime listener and have to say the podcast has gotten so much better. Not just the sound quality, but the quality of research and editing. I was wondering how the podcast has impacted, changed each of you." Like I said, I think we sort of already answered that, but obviously, thank you, Shelby, for your question.
Yeah, thank you, Shelby. Like I said, it just made me more confident, you know, made me a better researcher because I had never written a paper. Surprise, shocking. No, I know. But yeah, I
never
done
anything.
It does
make me more aware when I'm like listening to cases. If I hear one that I'm like, ooh, okay, I haven't heard that one before. That might be something that would be interesting and I might make a note of it. Or I've gotten books on things that happened in Alabama and made notes of ones that I wanted to cover. I've read more about this state than I ever would have before. So that'll continue as we go on.
Cool. The next one is from Adam. It says, "Hello, I actually went to school with Montana and began listening when you started the podcast. I think she shared it on her Facebook early on. You probably don't remember me, but we were in the same grade at Clanton. This is relevant information. I wanted to know if you two have ever thought of covering hometown stories. If so, I have a few from our hometown I would love to hear you cover."
If it's the same Adam that I'm thinking of, I do remember you. You were a great writer. If it's not, just pretend that you're a great writer. And I believe that. But you're never going to know. Maybe. I think I did respond to your email. I can't remember. If I didn't, I'm sorry. I'll check again later. yes, we want to do hometown ones. We have mentioned it in the past, which is also the bag in rooms. I'm getting tired. We've mentioned it in the past, but recently, and I think we were planning on doing it, but recently, like, we've been following a pretty strict schedule, especially because we've had like a guest. We plan on having some more guests. So it's kind of been, we've wanted to stay on like a theme.
Kelsey's very strict.
Kelsey is very strict, but she also helps us set goals. She helps make sure that we're meeting those goals. She's great.
I mean, well, I'm strict. I'm not that strict. We can do hometowns, guys.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
No, we plan on doing it. We've just had other things that we, you know, we wanted to cover because certain people were available, certain things were happening. As we go through the summer, you know, a lot of that like restricted stuff is kind of like fall off, and we can do that.
The next one is from Christina. It says, "Hi, ladies. My question is for Kelsey, though I have plenty to ask the two of you. I just assumed others would ask the basic things I want to know. I hope someone asks them. If they don't, maybe you'll have another Q&A. Now, I'm second guessing myself. I wanted to know how Kelsey...
Montana, did you write this email?
No. Now, I wanted to know...
Christina, we're spirit animals.
Yes, yes. I wanted to know how Kelsey got started in the podcast with you guys and if she'll ever cover another case again. Love the podcast, Christina.
Will you?
I would love to share my personal story with my postpartum thing, if you guys want me to. But other than that, I don't really have another case that I just like would love to cover, you know. If you wanted me to cover one, or if like for some reason you guys got too busy, I'm sure I could figure out and research and throw one together and do it, you know, or down the road if we decide to make a change or whatever, you know, who knows. But
I'm sure if there ever comes a point where one of us is deathly sick, Kelsey can do like a one with us or one with the other one. Samantha's out for leprosy or something like that. Or I'm out.
Why do I get leprosy?
Because I lost a leg. I lost a leg. Would you rather have leprosy or lose a leg?
Why are either of these things happening, and how do they correlate?
I'm sure Kelsey will help. But yes, I want to hear about your postpartum on the podcast when we have that upcoming thing. And I'm saying thing because I don't want to spoil it for the listeners. So yeah, that is a plan.
Cool. So then, yes, to answer your question, I will be covering at least one more case in the future. Okay, the next question is anonymous. It says, why does Montana hate white people and men? I don't know. Were we going to ask that one? You may cut it.
No, just leave it in. I don't hate anybody. I'll make that clear. I do not like misogyny. I do not like the patriarchy. I do not like oppression. You know, so it's kind of like, if you're, my thought on it is like, if you're feeling offended, maybe you should look inwardly at yourself and why you might feel that way.
Nicely stated.
Was that a good answer?
That was a very good answer.
I think that's a good answer.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Next is from Jen. Hello, gals. My name is Jen. She, her. I started listening to your podcast last year, and I love it. You two cover topics and cases I've never heard of anywhere else. I tell anyone who will listen to me to go listen to your podcast. My question is if you plan on ever doing a live show or even a Patreon. I know other podcasts will do live streaming for Patreon members and would love the extra content. If you ever need show suggestions from Arizona, I have plenty I could send you.
Thank you for normalizing pronouns, first and foremost. We already talked about the live shows and what that might entail. We have talked about a Patreon. We have not gotten to that point, but that is a goal, at the very least, by the end of the year. That's definitely something that we're working on. And I would love to hear ideas of cases that you would like to hear of from Arizona. By all means, send them our way.
I think people,
most of it.
Yeah, I think people are afraid, like, since we mostly focus our attention on the southeast, I guess, to send it in. That's me, like, reading into
throw
it.
Throw some new cases our way. Throw me some Black Widows.
Oh, she's by not the end literal of our podcast
Black,
days.
Not literal cover all Black of Widows, them. But, you know.
Next time I come into town, I just have a bag of Black Widows. Here you go, bitch.
Brat. If it's that cider, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, the Black true. Widow cider.
That was good.
That shit was good.
I don't
good.
Really like cider. It was good.
Same.
Next is Anonymous. They say, hi, ladies. I would prefer to stay anonymous if that is okay. I've listened to your podcast for a few months now, and I've almost caught up with all the episodes. You two are very open about your mental health, and I've really appreciated that. One thing I struggle with is CPTSD, and I know one of you mentioned your own struggles with that in one of your episodes. Has doing the podcast affected your CPTSD, and do you have any advice for a fellow sufferer?
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that was me. I don't know that Montana's ever talked about having
it.
That.
There's a lot of things I have, but that's not one of them.
I did prep this one a little bit ahead because I wanted to be a little bit more prepared. I have talked about my struggle with that and mentioned it because it took a while to be diagnosed, and it's only in recent years even been acknowledged as a separate and serious illness that specifically affects chronic abuse sufferers. So as far as how it's affected me, I will say it can creep up sometimes with certain cases, certain subjects that may pop up in cases that I research or cases that Montana covers that I don't expect, just kind of what it's par for the course, unfortunately. It's not something that ever really leaves you. It will always be there, but you get better at recognizing the signs and symptoms. And so you do the things you need to do for self-care and to kind of prevent and or handle after those things happen. So it can definitely come up, but I've learned to kind of deal with it and how to self-soothe, self-care, and use coping mechanisms. As far as advice, that's a loaded question. My number one thing is going to be to seek help from a licensed professional because I am not one. I have a lot of talents. That's not one of them. But specifically look for one that specializes in CPTSD. It's not extremely common. They're not super prevalent, and it might be hard to find, but it's worth it to find somebody who specializes specifically in that because they will also be able to recommend coping mechanisms and help you work through that specific aspect. And it is a huge piece. The second thing I would say is research the illness yourself and learn what possible triggers are, what the attacks look like, what symptoms look like, and also what healthy coping mechanisms you can use. For instance, for me, a big one was the 5-4-3-2-1. It's a method of grounding. And you can edit the order of what you're using, but you're using your five senses and you're counting them down. So frequently I would do like 5 things I can see right now, 4 things I can touch or feel right now, 3 things I can hear right now, 2 things I can smell right now, 1 thing I can taste right now. You can rearrange the senses however you need, but basically what it's doing is it's just grounding you in the here and now. And by doing that, it will help you to get more in the present instead of being in the moment that you're in. That's just one that really stuck with me, and it was one that was easier for me to use, and I still use it today. I would also say talk about it with those that you trust. The more you talk about it, the easier it is to acknowledge it, that what happened was not your fault, that you didn't deserve it in any way, and that what you went through wasn't fair. And your hurt and your reaction are 100% valid and are not to be diminished. There's always going to be somebody who had it worse than you. And that does not mean that what you went through was insignificant or that it doesn't deserve the space to be discussed. And the more you talk about it, the more you learn about who you can trust and the more you understand the reasoning behind some of the things that you do or the reactions that you have. And encourage other people to research it themselves or explain it to them what's going on, because then they can help when you're having a difficult time and you're maybe not able to ground yourself. And remind yourself that you are not your experience and that you can move on for it and that you're more powerful than your illness. And to clarify, I'm not saying that it's easy, because it's not going to be. It's not fair. It's truly not. And I'm very sorry that you're struggling with it. It's always going to be there. But it may be that it's only slightly there and you can move past it. And when you see it to start to rear its ugly head, you can know exactly what's happening and you can move past it before it takes over you. And the more you do those other things, the more you take power for yourself and you take power away from that illness. It's not easy. I'm never going to say it is, but the work is worth it. Learn those coping mechanisms and teach others around you what those coping mechanisms are so they can remind you, because those that love you are going to do that. And you'll be amazed at the things that you have. Look at the things that you have gotten from that. For me, I have more empathy than most people. I can see things in other people that they don't even know sometimes. And I can talk to people and I can help them through things because I feel those things with them. And that's something that's only been enhanced in my situation because of the things that I've been through. So find those things that are your power, that are the things that you're good at, and just let that grow. Focus on those things and hone in on those things. And that was a lot, but I wanted to give a thoughtful response because I feel it and my heart goes out to you, and you're stronger and more amazing than you know. And I don't have to know you to know that. And you've got this, and feel free to reach out to us if you have questions. But again, number one thing I would say, reach out to a licensed professional, because they're going to help you with all of those things. Well, way more than anybody else can. And you can be open and honest with them and talk more detail about those things and work through them. But highly recommend therapy, obviously. I've been through enough of it.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that was insightful. I loved that. The next question is from Ash. It says, "Hello, Samantha, Montana, and Kelsey. I found your podcast because I was looking for Black Widow podcasts. Samantha is a kindred spirit. I do love all the episodes, though, and look forward to hearing the two of you, sometimes three, each week. I wanted to know if you plan to collaborate with other podcasts. If so, which ones would you want to collaborate with? Can't wait to hear your takes on Bigfoot."
If the opportunity ever comes up, yeah, hell yeah. I guess it goes without saying, I would love to with Sinisterhood. That would be great.
I mean, obviously. I mean, if any of them wanted to, sure, absolutely. That's a straightforward question and answer. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yes. But
the answer is yes.
Your question was, do we plan on? We have no plans right now.
No.
Go back to, like, we can't do live shows yet. We don't have an agent. An agent really would be the one who sets all of that up. But if the opportunity came up, hell yeah. Bet your sweet ass we would.
Yeah. The next question I realized is sort of a duplicate, but I'm going to read it anyway. Devin writes, "My 100th episode question is if you two will ever start a Patreon. I love the podcast and would love extra content." And I believe we already said.
Yeah, we already answered that. Thank you for your question, Devin.
We will.
Our goal is by the end of the year. We plan on it. You guys will be the first to know, promise.
Okay, next question is from John. It says, "Hello, ladies. Big fan of the podcast. I recently stopped listening to one of my longtime podcasts and found yours. It has helped fill the void from that old one. For your 100th episode, I wanted to know if you've ever had any cryptid sightings, hauntings, or paranormal things happen to you, or if you've had any true crime you've witnessed or been a part of."
Okay, Samantha, I have one. Do you have one?
The only paranormal is all my cats looking at all of the ghosts and all of the walls and all of the houses I've ever lived in, especially Juju. And that one wall in that one room in the old house. Outside of that, no encounters per se.
Okay, I don't have paranormal encounters, but I do have two. Maybe maybe like paranormal, like weird things that have happened. So I'll tell you about the first one. The first one was when I have a twin sister. When I was really, really young, I maybe 4 or 5, and I vividly remember this. I was in the bathtub with my brother, and he didn't wash all of the soap out of my hair, because you know when you don't wash all the soap out of your hair and you like it's got like that crinkly feeling. He didn't do it, but he was like in a hurry to get out of the bathtub. I don't know. So we get out, and I decide, I remember thinking this. I was like, well, that's whatever, you know, whatever. I'll lean my head over the tub into the faucet and let it like rinse the rest of it out. And in my head, I was like, I went to reach for the first knob, and I was like, no, that can't be right, because life is truly just cruel and it wouldn't be the first one. So I reached for the farther one and turned it on full blast and just shoved my head under it. It was scalding hot water. And then all of a sudden, I'm not in the bathroom. I'm sitting in the island in the kitchen screaming. I had actually been eating cereal in the kitchen. I was not the one that was in the bathtub. It was my twin sister. And she never once screamed. And it like burned the back of her head. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Kelsey. What did you
I just want to comment that that's insane. I never knew that happened. And that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not something I bring up a lot. I'm like, let me tell you about the time I body swapped with my sister when she had a traumatic event. No,
we talked about this one night. But
yeah, I think we talked about that one night. The other time is the time I died and I saw myself. Again, I must have been like 5 or 6. We were in the back of my sister and I were in the back of my mom's car, and we were leaving my grandfather's house. And there was a bag of these like red candies, you know, like the cherry candies. They're like super round or whatever, hard. They must have been our brother's, because he's 5 years older than us. And we were begging mom, like, mom, like, we want it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But we were definitely too young to have it. And she was like, you can have one. And like, I just like, you know me, I was just like, even as a kid, I was like, oh, and like right into my windpipe. Stop breathing. My mother gets out of the car, parks her car on the side of the road, gets out of the car, pulls me out. I am turning blue. She's screaming at cars that are passing by. I'm just dying. And so instead, my sister, meanwhile, is just sucking away on her candy in the car. So my mom shoves me back in the car, drives back to my grandfather's house. She gets me in, puts me on the kitchen table. And at this point, I'm like not in my body anymore. I can see my body on the kitchen table as my grandfather shoves his entire hand down my throat and grabs it out of my throat. And then I'm back in my body. Yeah. And I remember that.
Holy shit. I didn't know that. Oh my God. That's insane.
I think I was closer to like spiritual world when I was younger.
I think all kids are perhaps closer to the spiritual world when they're young. I really do believe that.
But I got nothing.
Those are mine.
To add to that.
Those are mine. I don't know that was paranormal. It might have been.
Sounds pretty fucking paranormal if you ask
close
me.
Enough.
Jesus. You were in
I don't know what the twin thing was.
You were almost in the afterlife. That's pretty paranormal.
Yeah.
That's so scary. God, as your mom, I would be just beside I don't even like giving Trip popcorn because it scares me. Like, I'm a fucking wimp. Like, oh my God. Okay.
It was the 90s. Like, I don't even think we were wearing seatbelts, Kelsey.
Yeah. And that just, I'm like a helicopter parent compared to anyone else. I don't know. Okay. The next question, Jenny says, why does Montana hate Florida?
Do you really have to ask that? No, I don't hate Florida. I don't hate Florida. I think the state as it is, environmentally, pretty rad, you know, doesn't get as cold as it does here. That's super cool. It also has you, Jenny. But, you know. Things aren't going great there. Things aren't going great everywhere. But specifically, a lot of it started in Florida. And like a plague, and it's just moving out everywhere.
Let's just say that the phrase is still "Thank God for Mississippi." It's not moved to Florida yet.
Oh man, no! I just a lot of weird shit happens in Florida, and they're an easy target. You know, they're an easy target, and it sucks for you guys because there's a lot of cool people who live in Florida.
We get to say sorry, Jenny, every time.
Yeah, that's why we say sorry, Jenny, every time.
And then there's one more that Samantha wanted me to ask that Montana, you may not be fully on board with, but it just goes something from Anonymous, something like, how do y'all put up with Montana?
So the reason why I wanted to ask this is it's not a put up with. I have been friends with Montana for over a decade. If it was putting up with, that would not be the case. Let me go ahead and put that out there. Everybody brings something different to the table. And it can be challenging to keep on task sometimes, but also some of those tangents bring about very interesting comments and very, like I've already said, lighter aspects to certain cases that are very difficult. And that's very necessary in order to continue and do what we do. I think all three of us bring something to the table, and that's very necessary, and it makes this work better than it ever has in the past. So I don't think the phrase, I think the phrasing is bad. I don't think it's put up with or how do you deal with. It's I've been surrounded by people with ADHD my entire life, it seems like. And I have them at work, I have them at home, and I have one of my best friends. So for me, it's a little chaotic, but also it's kind of normal because that's just the life that I live. And I am super organized, maybe overly so. So that chaos actually helps me to loosen up a little bit from time to time, number one. And number two, it encourages creativity and it pushes me to do things that I probably wouldn't do on my own. And I definitely wouldn't if I was just with people that were exactly like me. So variety is the spice of life. We all bring something to the table, I think. And that's to be respected and appreciated. Not dealt with.
Yeah. And I think it's important. We debated back and forth on this. I originally didn't want to have this put in here because there was more than one person that sent a variation of that in. And we try to be really careful with how we say things because language and words are really important. And I think as goofy as I am on this podcast and as you know, chaotic and all that stuff, what I can be is I'm still a person. And when you say stuff like that and you insinuate that people are only tolerating me, that's not okay. So, you know, we appreciate every single question that comes in and like all of the support that we've gotten. But just remember, you know, when we like to joke around and things like that. But what I have, it can be debilitating and it's hard a lot of the times. But be careful with not just like how you word things to us, but to everybody, because you don't know what type of harm you're doing. So that's, you know, that's just my two cents. But I do appreciate like all the questions and, you know, be cognizant of how you phrase things. Think about how react if.
I think every person at some point in time has a moment where they think, I am too much of XYZ. I am too much of this. I don't want to reach out to them because it's going to bother them. You are my best friend. You're basically my sister. I put up with that. But
yeah, we'll just leave that burp in.
The belches, I definitely do. But yeah, I mean, words are power, for better or for worse. So be cognizant of that and be careful of the ones you use because you don't know what harm you could be doing to somebody who's already struggling with something, just in general.
Truly. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I had a counselor at school that would say, I'm sure you know the old phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can't hurt me or whatever, except
which is not true.
It's not true. her rendition, which I love so much more, is Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will break my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. And again, I'd like to just say that I don't put up with you. I choose to be your friend. I choose to be here. And I love you, the person that you are, both of you, you know, every bit of you. It just makes you who you are. And that's beautiful.
Oh, I know. I know I'm special. And if I'm not your cup of tea, I'm not forcing you to listen to the podcast, my friend. Or you can do what I do with some podcasts and just listen to Samantha's episodes. Easy as that. Oh, wait. Those are actually worse. That's actually worse. Maybe just don't listen. Oh, I'm not saying don't listen to podcasts. Again, I'm just reiterating. I'm reiterating. Words are powerful. Think about what you say and how you would feel if you were getting a question like that. But again, I appreciate every single question that we got. I think that they were super great. I hope that we can do a lot more of that in the future. And here's to another 100. Cheers, ladies.
Cheers. I bought.
Cheers.
I have water, but it'll work.
Okay. Until next time. We love you. We mean it.
Goodbye.
The Reaper will come.